Daniel chapter 2. Now, unless you understand Daniel's vision in chapter 2, you really won't get a handle on what I'm talking about the rest of the day. But in Daniel chapter 2, we see the preview of all the Gentile empires that would be associated with the nation of Israel. Every one of these empires occupied Jerusalem and had the Jews under subjection. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Now this is the appearance of the political empires leading up to the appearance of the man Antichrist and the second coming of Christ himself. Verse 31, Babylon came, and remember, it's directed to King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Babylon came, saw, and behold, a great image, and this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before him. The form thereof was terrible, or striking, or terrifying. The head of this image was of fine gold. His breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet, iron, and part clay. And you saw this huge image made of all these metals. You saw that image until a stone. Now remember, a rock or a stone in Scripture is always Jesus Christ. He was the stone set aside of the builders. He was the chief cornerstone. And over in Scripture, the rock that Moses struck in the wilderness was Jesus Christ, according to Paul in Corinthians. All right, so here we have, in symbolic language, then, the coming of Christ, the stone cut out without hands. And at Christ's coming, he will smite this image, which is a symbolic picture now of all the great Gentile empires, and it will strike the image upon his feet. Now, I always try to get people to use some imagination. Just picture this huge image of a man. And here comes the steamroller and just literally bumps it over and rolls it into powder. Now that's simple, not that. All right, but now remove the steamroller and just take a huge stone coming from outer space. And it just strikes this image on its feet, rolls it over, and grinds it to powder. All right, the stone is the second coming of Christ. And so, it smote the image that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Now verse 35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, in other words, just like dust that can blow away, so that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image, which is Christ, now remember, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and a mountain in Old Testament imagery is a kingdom. So here we have the appearance of Christ's earthly kingdom. And it cannot come about until these Gentile empires are totally crushed and removed. And this kingdom then filled the whole earth. All right, now we have to compare Scripture with Scripture in order to make these things believable. Keep your hand in Daniel. We're coming right back and move ahead to Zechariah. Now Zechariah, remember, is the second to the last book of your Old Testament. You find Matthew, come back to the left through Malachi, and there's Zechariah. All got it? Zechariah chapter 14. I guess we'll start at verse 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold the day of the Lord. See that term? That's a reference to the final 7 years of the second coming. Behold the day of the Lord comes. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. See, the world is getting ready for that. The whole world is turning more and more against the little nation of Israel. And I'll be repeating off and on all day. The whole world is beginning to believe Arafat's lie. I hope you know what that man has been telling the Arab people of Palestinians. Even though he may sign certain things with Bill Clinton and the leaders of Israel and other times in the past, as soon as he gets back to his Palestinian people, he tells them in no uncertain terms, this isn't the end. We're going to take a little, we're going to take a little more, we're going to get a little more, and one day we're going to have the whole land of Israel and we're going to have Jerusalem. And so that's what's on his mind. They are not going to quit until they've got Israel in the sea and they've got all. But God is sovereign. It's not going to happen. And so here we have this final gathering of the nations of the world against this little nation of Israel. And they'll bring Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravaged. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the rest of the people shall not be cut off. In other words, it's going to be a total siege. Verse 3. Then, time work. Just when it almost seems there's no hope for Israel, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. In other words, back in Israel's history. Now verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Oh, I've already got your hand in Daniel. Come back to me. Keep your hand in Zechariah. Sorry about this. Come all the way up to Acts. Acts, chapter 1. So when these people scoff at these ideas, you see how much scripture they're throwing away? They might have an old boy been in the hospital for some time, and his pastor came in one time and visited, and as he was ready to leave, the pastor said, hey, brother, can I read you a portion of scripture? Oh, he said, I'd love that. He said, here's my Bible. So I handed him his Bible, and he said, man, there's nothing here but two pages and the cover. What happened? Well, he said, every time you said that that wasn't in the Word of God, he said, I threw it away. And he said, a few more sermons, and he said, there's been nothing left but the cover. Well, sadly, that's what's happening. See, but here is another instance, and they're throwing it away. But look what Acts 1 says. Verse 10, or verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while in his hell, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, this is Christ's ascension. Verse 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels. And these angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, see, not a different one, this same Jesus, the resurrected, crucified Christ, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, does that take a rocket scientist to understand what it's saying? That as he went up in that resurrected body with the nails in his hand, he's coming back. Same thing we're talking about in Zechariah. Oh, back to Zechariah chapter 14. And so in his feet, verse 4, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. So we're not talking about something in the sky or in heaven. We're talking about the literal Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives shall cease or separate in the midst thereof and so forth. Now come up to verse 9. Zechariah 14, verse 9. Now this is where I came out of Daniel, where Daniel said that that stone became a great kingdom and filled the whole earth. All right, now look at Zechariah says. And the Lord, now remember the Lord in the Old Testament is God the Son. and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, when Christ returns, in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. He's going to be King of Kings, Revelation says, and Lord of Lords. All right, now we'll come back to Daniel chapter 2. We'll pick up the flow of the Gentile empire depicted in that gradient. And of course, we know from secular history that this prophecy has already been fulfilled for the most part. They came just exactly the way Daniel said they would. And that's why the scoffer ridicules the book of Daniel. The scoffer says nobody could have known so accurately what was going to happen as Daniel did. Well, that's true. So who do they reject? The inspiration of the Spirit. They just totally reject that this Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why Moses could write back in Deuteronomy 30 that Israel would be scattered in every nation under heaven and would one day come back. Moses didn't know that, but the Spirit inspired to write. Daniel didn't know this much intellectually, but the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. All right, now you read on. This is the dream. Verse 37. Now a king, or a king of kings, but a God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, he hath given into thine hand, and hath made you a ruler over them all. He was a totalitarian dictator king. Thou art the head of gold. That was the Babylonian king, the first great empire amongst the Gentiles. Now verse 39. After the Babylonian empire glides forth, another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now there is the Medo-Persian kingdom that followed Babylon, and then that was followed by the Greek empire, and then that was followed by verse 40, the fourth Gentile empire, which is the kingdom. Fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron has great building, it shall break in pieces and bruise. See? This is the Roman Empire. Fearsome. Had absolutely no concern about human rights. And every time I make that statement, I have to think again, one of the first times that Iris and I went to Israel, we went up to Masada. And anybody that goes to Israel will usually go to the top of Masada. But the first time we went, we were able to walk with a cable car. So we walked down on the rampart that was built by the Romans when they finally attacked Masada. They can't do that anymore. They got it all fenced off. You got to go back down on the cable car. But we walked down that rampart. And our Jewish guide was explaining how Roman camps, you can still see the evidence of their campgrounds all around the south. Many of you are schools have already been there. But these Romans had thousands upon thousands of troops, but they didn't do the labor. Slaves did. And most of them, of course, were Jewish slaves. And so as they carried this dirt back in antiquity, probably in containers on their shoulders or however, they were moving that dirt to build that rampart to the top of huge Masada. And our guide made the statement, he said, Wes, can you imagine how many thousands of the remains of slaves are in this rampart? They worked until they died and the next bunch would cover them up. And so this has been the tale of human history. The Romans had no concern for human rights. They would use them to their own glory, let them die in their tracks. Alright? And so this was this fearsome, terrifying empire that would follow the first three. Alright? Now the reason I make so much emphasis on this is because, verse 42, we get down to the toes of the feet of this image, which is representing now the Gentile Empire. these toes, ten of them, are hard iron and hard clay, so that this final kingdom will not be as tenacious as the original Roman Empire, but it's going to be politically fragile. Verse 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with fiery clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave or hold one to another, even if iron is not mixed with clay. Then in verse 44, in the days of these kings, ten of them, Nebuchadnezzar was one, the Medes and Persians were two, the Greek Empire ended under four, the Roman Empire, with all of its many Caesars, was now a republic, remember, with a Senate. And now this final aspect of the Roman Empire is going to be a consortium of ten nations, not really glued together tightly, and they're going to be fragile in their governmental power, and they are going to be on the sea when verse 44 is fulfilled, and that is, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a king. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment. Those of you who have heard me teach, I think I put it on television, I probably taught it in Chillicothe or wherever I'm home. But what you're seeing in Western Europe today is, as I understand Scripture, these ten kings of Daniel chapter 2. This is coming on the scene, the revived Roman Empire. Now I know that from the 1970s, when these ten nations first came together after World War II, they were constantly referred to as the Ten. Time magazine had no other term for them but the Ten. Well, then as time went by, they went to the name the Western European Union, the WEU. But over the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, they have now enlarged from 10 nations to something like 15 or 16. But, I read again the other day, I think it was in the New York Times, but they, you know, I've got people all over the country that watch out for me. See, they send me these clippings. And that keeps me abreast, because I told the Chicago people I wouldn't be caught dead watching television news. I have no time for CBS, ABC, and any of the rest of them. That is nothing but a pack of propaganda. But just bits of news come in from around the country and around the world, and they try to keep me abreast of things. But anyway, these 15 nations that now make up what most of the news refers to as the European Community, the 10, the original 10, still have veto power. You get that? In other words, no matter what the larger group says, it's the 10 who are still in basic control. And so what I feel will happen when the final 7 years come about, that these other satellite nations will just sort of slide off into oblivion, and the 10, the original, will have control. Now everybody going back, unless who are the original 10? Now if you got your notepad, take them down. These are the original 10, out of whom I am positive will come the man Antichrist. Now, Jim's a banker, and you only watch him die on his head cow occasionally. That means he's in full agreement. Last January, the corporate world of Western Europe, the banks and so forth, converted to the euro dollar. This next January 1st, the population as a whole will be converted to the euro dollar. They're getting all the currency ready and so forth, and all the nations of the Western European Union will now come under a central currency. And we were just talking, where are you, Bonnie? Bonnie Shelton, right there she was. She just came back from Europe. With all the headaches of their different currencies, the German mark, the Italian lira, the Swiss lira, and so forth. Well, you see, if she could have waited until next year, she wouldn't have had to fool with all those different currencies. Because they're all going to have one currency, the euro dollar. Okay, here's the tenth. Netherlands. Belgium. Luxembourg. France. Germany. Greece. Italy. United Kingdom. That's Great Britain. Portugal. And Spain. Now those are the ten that were originally brought together with the Club of Rome shortly after World War II, and they too evolved into what we now call the European Community, and then as they started adding other nations, Czechoslovakia, Austria, and so forth, they have seemingly two separate organizations. The ten are still by themselves, and the larger group is by themselves, but like I said, the original ten still hold veto power over whatever the 15 may try to do. And so your Western European nations, consortium of nations, are a perfect example of this revived Roman Empire that has to be on the scene as it was in the time of Christ. Now, look at it this way. As these Gentile empires came up through history, beginning with Babylon, and maybe the Persians and the Greeks, and then the Romans were in power at the time of Christ. And if the prophetic program would have continued on, and the church age had not interrupted it, you see, the Roman Empire would have been still involved had Christ been able to return without the church age involved. In other words, if the second coming would have taken place according to the prophetic program, Rome would have still been the ruling empire. I make myself clear? So, since God stopped the prophetic program and brought in 2,000 years of grace, and is going to have to pick up where he left off, what follows? The Roman Empire has to be back as the ruling force. And so that's why we are watching Western Europe closely, because after the church is gone, getting ready for this final 7 years, which I'll be including now down here, you have to have Western Europe as a revived Roman Empire will be the world power. They're going to be the superpower, not America, not Russia, it's going to be Western Europe. Now, I've been pointing out to my class in Oklahoma and some of my seminars for the last several years, if you don't watch your business part of the paper for any other reason, just watch what's happening with European corporations. I just read in USA Today again the other day, how many of our American companies have been already bought up by European countries. It's just mind-boggling. The article I read the other day says food companies, our grocery companies, are now almost totally controlled by European food companies. British Petroleum, the big British oil company, owns multitudes of our oil companies. All of our pharmaceutical companies are already owned by European pharmaceuticals. Our agricultural chemical companies, which were multitudes of them, are now down to only one. Monsanto and St. Louis, I think, is the only one that's still American owned. The rest are all controlled by European companies. Now, the one you're all aware of course, is when Mercedes-Benz bought out 52% of Chrysler, a European automaker. And so all of these things are just telling us that the power that is coming is not America, but it's going to be this European Union. And just watch your paper. Every time you see another little note or something that some European company has bought an American company, mark it down. They are the final Roman Empire. All right, now then, in the few moments we have until lunch break, I'll take you to another portion in Daniel, which is fundamental to our understanding of the book of Revelation, is Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Now, I sometimes almost refrain from teaching these things, and I pray people will get sick and tired of me saying the same thing over and over. But I guess that's the only way people learn. Daniel chapter 9, and we have to start at verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. All right. 70 weeks of years. So 70 times 7 is 490 years are determined upon thy feet. Now this is not a new thing between God and Israel. Here I got another set of for your notes. At least you'll take something away today that I'm sure you haven't heard before. Got your notes right handy? This is something a little aside from Daniel now, but I just want you to see how God has dealt with Israel in these groups of years all the way up to her history. Alright, the first of course starts with Abraham. When Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, God made him a promise that 430 years would take place between Abraham and Israel coming out of Egypt. 430 years. Alright, then when Israel demanded a king, King Saul, from Joshua, who took over when Moses died, from Joshua to the appearance of King Saul in Israel was 490 years. Okay, what would you expect? And then from King Saul until the Babylonian invasion and Israel then under servitude, from Saul to the servitude under Babylon was another 490 years.